This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Phil Greenville with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking season 2, episode 2 of Community Accounting for Lawyers. I'm Josh Wiggler, and I'm here to say, Guten Tag, homies. It's Poppin' Locktober, Jess Sterling.
I was going to say Guten Tag, homies, too. Which one of us is Tango and which one of us is Sundance?
I'm Cash. I'm Tango's partner.
What's Sundance's partner?
Butch Cassidy.
Ooh, that sounds fun. I want to be that one.
Okay, great. And then our very special guest can decide who he wants to be. You know him from the Challenge podcast over at Rob Has a Podcast. Shockingly, not just our first podcast together, but basically like our first interaction together ever. Brian Cohen, Guten Tag, homie.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. This is a blast. I've been like living in the community world now for the last like 2 weeks, binging like all the way up until this episode. So like this is all I've been thinking about for a while, so I'm very excited.
Brian, are you a community guy or like you're new to community?
Very much new.
Cool.
When Jess asked me to pop on for the season, I'm like, I needed someone to push me to watch this show because I knew I would like it. It was just one of those shows that I've just never caught up on. Like I was into like Parks and Rec and like that was a TV show. And like Community I just never watched. Like I knew I would love it. I just need someone to like give me that incentive to watch it. And this was the perfect reason to do so. So now I'm in.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. So
they should start paying me for recruiting all of these people into being community fans.
Who's they? Are you we could talk about this offline, Jess. This is an awkward conversation to have on the air. To be completely honest, I'm psyched, Brian. I can't believe it has taken a decade for our paths to cross, something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. We've been in the RF streets for such a long time. You would think just by chance we would cross paths.
Yeah, I mean, so I've never done the challenge. I don't know that I've ever seen it before. I've always been very daunted by the challenge because I know so many people love it, and people who like I really respect and appreciate like adore the show. And like I've been nervous to watch it because I feel like there's so much mythology there.
There is. It'd be like jumping into Lost in like season 5. There's a lot.
Yeah, but aren't there like 100 seasons that I'd have to go back and watch?
I think it's like they also. I think the past couple of years they've really like added so many new people that I don't think it's as challenging anymore, you know, to get into, because they've added so many like Big Brother Survivor people that it's really kind of revolutionized things.
Yeah,
that's true. Really, the last few years have been a lot better with like a fresh crop of people, but the audience is very passionate, the show is very passionate, so I can understand the resentment to jump in immediately.
Is there do you have like a suggested like watch this and then you'll be good, or is it like do you just have to hop in, or do I have to like go back all the way? Do I have to go back? Like what do I do?
Definitely. Normally, I would say if you go back even a couple seasons, you'd be fine. But the weird thing for this one, there's so many. Normally, they bring back a lot of the same people season after season, but this one, there's so many new people. That if you just started with this season or even just last season, like you'd be pretty much caught up with basically what's been going on. So you'd be in good shape.
Okay. And I know there's some like Survivor friendlies on the show and stuff now. So that's kind of cool. Brian, what are you thinking about Community? Give us the skinny as like you're doing like. So you've been just like watching it nonstop for 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah, I started like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I wanted to try to time it where I could like do it reasonably to catch up for this podcast, but not like too spaced out where I then want to start watching beyond this episode. So I wanted to like time it pretty well. And I love it. I went in basically having no knowledge of the show. I had no idea what it was about. When I knew it was about Community, I even just thought it was like a community, like a town. I didn't even know it was about like a people in the community college. I knew nothing. I knew no one who was on the show. Like I've been using some of the gifts in my everyday life.
Without knowing it, yeah.
Now I know, but like Troy walks in the room with the room on fire. That's from this show. I had no idea. Yep. Like, oh my God, that's the guy from the gift.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. It's so funny. It's so enjoyable. It's such an easy watch. I had to like stop myself much further than this because, you know, made it this far, I wanted to be right on time. So, but it's very enjoyable.
Well, now you're going to be able to just like, you're like the rolling ball on the hill after this point, like no stopping you after that. So I guess I'll see you in like 3 years, which will be sooner than the last time we spoke, I suppose. So, exactly. You know, I think that'll work. Jess, do you like it when you've got two people that are like more in the me spot than like the super community fans? Like, is it a joy for you to like watch people discover community?
Yeah, I think this is one of my favorite parts of the podcast is bringing on people who maybe like people either wouldn't expect, or I just like the variety of guests we have, because we've certainly had super fans on, but then we've also had people who like have only watched a single episode, or like Brian did, just binged the whole thing up into this point. I think it's really fun to just get like, because everybody has different opinions on it, and to kind of see how they fell in love with the show. I don't know. I really enjoy it. And it was funny because I'm wondering if Brian has used the GIF that is from this episode without even realizing it, considering he hadn't watched the show before now, because this episode has a very famous GIF in it of Troy with my whole brain is crying and like leaping over the chloroformed janitor. A classic. Uh-huh. This is a classic moment.
This episode to me, I don't know if this is like a hot take or if this is the right take, but this feels like something happens in this one that I think like escalates everything for me. When we have a character chloroforming a human being.
And not the human
and
being.
Not the Greendale mascot, but like another person. Like, yeah. now we're doing something total, like,
and it's Annie.
You can't go back from that. So like, I feel like this episode like crosses an we've crossed the Rubicon. Like, we cannot return from this point. And I feel very great about it. I loved this one. I thought this episode was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It's funny. I thought basically between the two parts, you got the Jeff part, you know, with his former colleague, and then the chloroform part. I thought that the chloroform part was absolutely hysterical. I crack up every time when, you know, they're doing the fake that they got chloroform too, and then she just does it again. Absolutely hysterical. I found the Jeff part to be a little more of a dud. I don't know. I don't know if this his former colleague comes back into play, and maybe he's more of a long-term character. But if he was like a one-and-done guy, I don't know. It didn't add much to me. Like, it was cool to see a little bit of who Jeff was before coming into this world, of his origin story, as I would say. But I don't know. I didn't get a lot of humor out of it. The side story with the chloroform, that to me was the big winner of this episode.
Yeah. It is. This is a next level Troy and Annie, especially episode, I feel like.
Yeah. This is the Annie that I love, that I'm waiting for everybody else to see, because season one, Annie is fine. She's great. Mm-hmm. This is where Annie heats up. It's season two. She chloroformed somebody. We're off the track. Like, it's amazing. The thing is like, I feel like people might be disappointed with my opinion of this episode, because I think a lot of people love it. And I kind of agree with Brian. Like, the Jeff thing, I feel like we've done that type of thing. Like, we've explored this territory. Granted, it's a little bit different. We get to see why he became a lawyer in the first place, which we never really knew. And we get to see the fact that he like doesn't quite fit in the way he used to in that atmosphere, which is interesting. We're not on the campus, so that's interesting as well. Yep. But I just feel like when you compare it to the Annie, Troy, and Abed storyline, it's not as good. And
sure,
that obviously elevates it to me a lot. Like, without that storyline, it's not that great of an episode, in my opinion.
I was feeling that vibe very, very, very much. And then I don't know if it's because it was just like the first time I've ever seen it, so I don't have like the repetition under my belt. And so like, I only get this surprise factor the one time. Certainly, everything that happens with the janitor is a huge shock. But the big shock at the end of, it's not a shock that like Jeff comes back, like that's very community and that's very Jeff, but that he and Troy then have like their epic dance moment on the floor as they're having this huge emotional Jeff Winger speech moment while they're doing the marionette was insanity to me, and instantly boosted the Jeff storyline dramatically. So I don't know. I sense that I may be the highest on this episode of the three of us. I really loved it. I liked it more than last week. It didn't have the baggage of the season one premiere, I felt. So like, this one felt like kind of just like sort of like a stone cold classic episode of the show for me. Really loved it.
Yeah, I did enjoy that they're starting to expand the world a little bit rather than, you know, keeping it very much in the school,
right,
with the teachers, the print, like the that type of world, where now we're starting to get a little more outside, a little more kind of growing the world, kind of how Parks and Rec used to do. They were just bringing new people from all around the town to make it seem bigger than it is. So I did enjoy that. Now we're starting to get to different locations, do different things.
And we're getting guest stars, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this episode has Drew Carey with the hole in his hand.
That part kills me. I have to fully say I'm not a huge fan of the Jeff storyline, but the Drew Carey with the olive falling through his hand, and when he shakes Jeff's hand and it pops, that makes the popping noise, kills me every time. It's ridiculous. It's hilarious.
I'd love to know how they came up with that. They're like, all right, well, what can we give this guy to make him a little unusual? Oh, I know. Let's put a hole in his hand. Like, I would love to know the backstory of the writers group where they came up with that one.
It's just great. It's like, it does feel like it's like, didn't like South Park have this whole bit about like, they have like the cork board on the wall and they have like the three columns of like how, like, is it that like, it's how the Simpsons like create storylines or something like that? I don't know, but it feels like that, where they've got like column one is character. Column two is special celebrity guest star. Column three is like extremely strange individual unique quirk. And then they just like add them up through that formula. Like, you got that with like Betty White last week. Now we've got Drew Carey as a lawyer with a hole in his hand. It's just like, feels like that was like on the factory line. And that factory, I don't know what they're doing in there. That's some Wonka stuff. I'm digging it. I really enjoy it. All right, well, let's get into the episode itself, Jess. Do you want to lead the way here as we're talking accounting for lawyers?
Yes. Directed by Joe Russo, of course, as always. We love Joe Russo. Written by Dan Harmon and Emily Cutler, and airs on September 30th, 2010. We start off in the cafeteria. Jeff asks why everyone is wearing green fedoras. And of course, the dean enters wearing lederhosen. Guten Tag, homies.
Guten Tag, homies. Brian, will you start your next episode of the Challenge podcast by saying Guten Tag, homies?
Yes, you know, I definitely will. I will make a mental note for myself and write down that is how I'm starting.
How will Allie receive that?
She will be probably very confused because I will probably also fumble how it's
about very wrong. All right, we'll spend the rest of this podcast, we'll spend callousing you to the word Guten Tag, so that by the time you're rolling this out in the RHAP sphere, we're just going to be cooking with gas.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
So he says he hopes they'll be attending Oktoberfest to celebrate German culture. And he says a little goes a long way. The dean says the Oktoberfest hasn't ever drawn large crowds due to the diversity at the school. So this year they're adding some color by making it a pop and Locktoberfest.
Pop and Locktober. I don't know that I've ever popped and locked. That's probably surprising to hear.
Should they have gone with the bend and snaptoberfest?
Oh, yeah. Just bend and snap.
It's much easier than popping and locking,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
Is a pop and lock a very specific move, or is there some versatility in popping and locking?
I think it's like similar to break dancing, but you don't necessarily have to be like wiggling around on the floor, but it's very like succinct movements, like robotic almost, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some creative spin everyone can put their own pop and lock on.
Yeah. Chang seems to know what's up, I'll tell you that.
The winner is going to get an iTunes gift card.
Yeah. What does he say at first? He has like some idea for,
I don't know. He suggests something else and he's like, never mind.
Just
nope,
kidding.
That's
it's
not
an
it.
iTunes gift card. Yeah. I like that because they have to they have to acknowledge that the stakes were too high for paintball.
What would be the iTunes equivalent now? I guess it's an Amazon gift card.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Again, nowadays.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shirley's excited. Jeff isn't. Jeff asks Abed if it's just him or is the campus getting more cartoonish? And Abed says he's excited and that he painted a tunnel on the side of the library. And when it dries, he's going to go for it.
That is a great setup for just like the most beautiful payoff by the end of this episode.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Chekhov's cartoon.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
Jeff sees the guy by the vending machines and he hides. He tells Abed he used to work with him. Abed says, cool, so he's from your origins.
Yeah.
He then outs Jeff after a misunderstanding and is surprised when Jeff's mouth isn't curved upwards.
Yeah, he didn't read that right.
Nope, not very good at reading the room, Abed. Alan calls Jeff Tango and Jeff calls Alan Sundance. Apparently they worked with different partners.
Rob Corddry in the house. He's always a fun element to throw into anything, I feel like. But I think he's going to end up being totally upstaged by Drew Carey for me.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks that he's coming in. I feel like he probably, I don't know if you, honestly, I don't think he would have gotten my Dean's List point even without Drew Carey. But he does do a very good job at playing a complete jerk.
Yeah, he plays the sleazy lawyer very, very well. I feel like he has a lot of similar roles to this. Was he on The Office, too? I feel like he played someone like that on The Office.
He would have.
I'm thinking of someone else.
Was Rob Corddry...
Was he? Was he Todd Packer?
No, he's not Todd Packer.
That's all right, someone else. But he just, I feel like he always plays this like sleazy type of guy.
Yeah. He had to have been in The Office. He was. He played someone... Nope, that's not him. No, I don't think he was on The Office, which is a surprise.
Feels like someone they would pull in on The Office.
Yeah.
No, I'm not seeing it. Even Hot Tub Time Machine, that's what I...
Of course, yeah. Very famous Daily Show correspondent, like sort of perennial that guy. If you need someone to show up and like very gamely play an asshole, Rob Corddry is a good number to have in your Rolodex for sure.
Yep. Alan asks why Jeff's at Greendale, and Jeff admits that he's a student. Alan is there for Narcotics Anonymous. Apparently, the DA used to call them the litter bugs because they put so much trash back out onto the street as lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Great nickname.
Yeah.
Well, not good with the fact of what they were doing, but no. A creative nickname.
Yeah, the litter bugs is good. I agree.
Ellen starts to tickle Jeff. There's like a lot of tickling in this episode.
This episode definitely canonizes Jeff as very ticklish, no? Like, this has to be like a thing. Like,
why did they do this? Like, why is there so much tickling?
I like it.
I hate it.
I wonder if this comes back. Does like Jeff get tickled to death? Is that how he goes back?
One thing I don't love about it is like the idea of it bringing up the like, oh, I didn't think that adults got tickled anymore. I thought that was one of the things that was like a benefit of growing up is you are no longer in tickling range. And so what I don't love is A, that it shouldn't be a thing, only consensually, and then B, I don't like it being in at least the community building consciousness, the idea of tickling an adult, because I think I'm in big trouble. And I don't...
I think I'm in trouble.
Come up and start tickling.
Brian, first of all, I'm not going for a while. And secondly, when I do go, I hope to have done something really stupid so as to have updated the thing that's on the top of the list of things to do. Like, no one come and tickle me,
no
please.
No one should tickle anybody. Like,
do the weird hat. Put a weird hat on you.
Yeah.
That's
better than...
That's what that's kind of my podcasting shtick, is I put weird hats on people. Yeah. You gotta sing for it first.
So Alan wants to grab a drink with Jeff, and Jeff says, oh, can you? And he says, yeah, I quit doing blow, not being rad.
Yeah. It's a great line.
Kills me.
That's a good line.
And Abed says, oh, well, Jeff has class. But Alan says his cargo pants suggest otherwise. And this is when we see someone from the hat club walk by and place a hat on Jeff's head. He's like, all right, now you get it. I understand what's going on.
Yes. I do love that line of he's got class. His cargo pants suggest otherwise. It's funny.
We're in the study.
Really funny. I just got that joke just now.
as Brian's eyes drift downward towards his cargo shorts. Yeah.
Listen, that makes a lot of sense. I'm very pro cargo shorts, cargo pants. Pockets are important, people. Yeah. The more you have, the better.
Yeah.
I think
a pocket is a thing to not be taken lightly.
Exactly. As a woman who wears clothes that are women's clothing that doesn't often have pockets, I'm a very pro pocket person.
Yes.
And if you have pockets in something that doesn't usually have pockets, you're required to say, when someone says, oh, that's a cute dress, you go, thanks, it has pockets.
My wife does this all the time. I know this very well. Yeah.
I did it with my wedding dress. It had pockets.
Yeah. Emily very intentionally seeks out dresses with pockets.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're in the study room. Chang is practicing his popping and locking in front of the group. Chang says they need 7 people to stand a chance.
Chang is excellent in this episode. I'm sorry. So great. Brian, how are you feeling about Chang?
I'm so glad I brought this up because I listened to the podcast you did last week and I'm like waiting for the Chang bomb to drop where he just becomes like this monstrous character that you all are like, and like right now, like, I don't, he seems like cartoonish a little bit, but he's funny. He kind of seems kind of harmless. He's like weird double personality teaser from last week.
Yes.
He seemed to where things might be going later on. But at least for now, I find him very funny and very endearing in like a kind of, you know, despicable way, but, you know, very funny.
Yes.
It hasn't happened yet. It'll happen, I promise.
Yeah, it clearly hasn't happened yet because I love Chang. I gotta just say, like, and I think and I had this I don't know if it was a eureka or just like clarification. Like, it's really all about Ken Jeong. Like, he's so funny.
He's so good at it. Yeah,
he is such a good physical performer.
They said in the commentary that like he's. It's like the way they said it was very funny. It's like he's terrible at moving his body, but because he moves his body so awkwardly, it's like it elevates the comedy.
Yeah.
So it took him a long time. They said watching him practice this was very entertaining because he was so bad at being bad at popping and locking. It took him a lot of practice.
It's incredible. He's so good.
It was before The Hangover, right? Like, did this help?
No.
No, it was like the same time. It was like The Hangover was like right before it.
Yeah, I mean, he before he was an actor, he had a successful career as a doctor. Mm-hmm. He was a physician for years and years and years and years. And I don't know what his first thing is. His first role, Knocked Up, maybe, because he's a doctor in Knocked Up. Yeah, it's like he's in something called Blackjack in 1998. But then he's in Knocked Up as the doctor in Knocked Up. And it's just stratospheric from there. He's like briefly in Step Brothers. He's got a role in Pineapple Express, which I haven't seen in a long time, so I don't remember what that is. He has a pretty big role, actually, in Role Models. He's the king of the LARPing community.
Yes, I remember that.
And then it's 2 years after Knocked Up, he's Chow in The Hangover, and the rest is history.
Yep.
I just have a lot of fondness for his story as an actor and like where he comes from and like what his life became after that. And I know that like he's just like he seems like such a good guy that like Chang's gonna have to far very, very, very far for like Chang, the awful character, to like surpass my warm feelings for Ken Jeong, the incredible comedian.
Yeah, me too. I'm curious to see how it happens because it seems like it's gonna happen.
It's not in this episode. Yeah.
No, it's not here yet. And I think it's just like I've always preferred him as Professor Chang versus Student Chang. And so we're still new to Student Chang. But you'll all see.
I love him so far. It's great.
Annie says they already have 7 people, but Chang says Jeff's too busy with his new lawyer friend to do it. And Britta does like a terrible John Stewart impression. Apparently it's John Stewart. I didn't really understand the joke here. But no one laughs at it because it's not funny.
That's just a fun part about this show is like going back in time with the references that they'd be making rather than versus like 2021. Like here, it's like John Stewart. I guess if this was today, it would be like a John Oliver impression or something like that.
So yeah.
It's kind of fun to like transport yourself like 10, 12 years ago and see what the pop culture reference is like everyone's making it.
And I wonder how much of it is a reference to Rob Corddry being here. And I think at the time he's still doing Daily Show. So, you know, just sort of like connecting the stuff.
That's a good point.
Though. Yep.
Troy says they'll get back to Chang, and Chang does a very strange pop and lock exit.
You mean an exceptionally talented pop and lock exit. Yeah.
So Annie asks where Jeff is, and Britta says he's been nonstop hanging with Alan. They're like Siamese twins detached at the cell phone holster. Do you guys remember cell phone holsters? Speaking of old
things. Yeah. I never had one. I don't think that I have like the vibe to pull it off. I don't think I could get away with it.
Yeah, I feel like that was like a very parent thing. Like my dad had one.
Yeah,
strapped to his belt. That was like the boomer thing to do.
Yeah,
back then.
Yeah, my dad had one way longer than it was socially acceptable to still have a cell phone holster.
Socially acceptable for a very long
time. Yeah, I was going to say. So he had it for more than 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Annie says that she thinks that they should be happy for Jeff because he found an old friend, but Abed says they're concerned that Alan is to Jeff what Rob Lowe is to James Spader in the 1990 film Bad Influence.
Well, he's a bad influence.
Oh, so you've seen it.
Oh, you've seen the film.
The delivery he has sometimes is just like, it's incredible. Yeah. His comedic timing. It's so good.
Yeah. Really, really
funny. One of a kind character.
Yes, 100%.
Jeff enters with Alan and says he'll be late because Alan and him are going to take a quick sidebar. Alan says, or any bar, and everybody laughs because apparently that was Johnny Carson impression, but was it John Stewart?
Isn't it Troy who says, oh, that's a good Britta impression?
Yes.
It's really great.
He's got Britta down.
Yeah.
Annie thinks that he looks familiar, and Alan puts on a commercial guy voice. It's possible. Have you or someone you know been injured at work? And Shirley takes the card and says a shrimp boat ran over her cousin.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I want to hear that story.
Yeah.
I guess I pay that. Where's that origin story?
Yeah.
Shirley says Jeff needs to be more respectful of their time, but Jeff asks Shirley if, as a Christian, she'd forgive him if he killed a man, and she says she would. Then either that man's life is worth less than your time, or it's okay for me to be late.
Wow, he still got it.
Got lawyered.
Jeff Winger.
I was waiting for the marshal to come out. Lawyer.
Yeah, he still got it.
Shirley looks upset. Pierce says he gave seminars on manipulation. He can reach into a man's soul and unravel it with one tug. Pierce calls Alan bald. Alan says, so are you. And Pierce loses
it. I have hair.
Clinging to some scraps.
Yeah.
He has no hair. Jeff and Alan high five and leave. And Pierce cries.
I have hair.
At the restaurant, Jeff and Alan are talking shop. Jeff says he misses it, and Alan invites him to visit the office. Alan says they're having an office party. He should come as his guest. But Jeff doesn't really want to show his face after he got busted. Alan insists, and Jeff kind of agrees to go to the party with him.
Yeah, it's all a play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stupid Alan.
Uh-huh.
So we're in the study room. Troy asks what Alan has that they don't, and Pierce just can't.
A butt for Jeff's wiener is what Pierce says. That is what Alan has that the rest of them don't.
Yeah.
And then further clarification was needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say they're gay.
Yeah. I think Pierce, like, they just don't have anything to do with him other than, like, the one joke. No. Like, the question of, like, Pierce or Chang is not a question for me.
No, it's easily Chang. Yeah.
Chang is.
Pierce just comes in for, like, the racist joke. Which, yeah. I mean, you know, slaps the whatever that.
Yeah. Occasional physical comedy, and then he's done for the day.
Yeah,
he doesn't offer a whole lot else besides that.
But Chang does physical comedy, too. I think he does it better. Chang streets ahead beyond Pierce, that's what I'll say.
Well beyond.
Yeah.
Annie says that all the drinking and carousing they're doing is a gateway to narcotics. She has a revelation. Narcotics.
Yes. Like, I think I know Alan, but I'm not. Oh, so you know him from Narcotics and Non. This whole thing is really, really funny with, like, how she thinks that she's like, I think he did something to Jeff. I'm not allowed to say. And everyone's like, well, maybe you could do it in charades. So you're not really saying. And then it's like, oh, it's a good idea. And Alison Brie is so good. And she's just, like, getting into position to do the charade. It's
like the moving of the fingers across.
Oh,
like,
it's so good. And then just a classic Shirley just, like, takes it and reads it.
Yeah. Alan got Jeff disbarred.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No poker for Annie. Not much of a poker.
Yeah.
Got going on.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Those junkies weren't thinking about rules and they were shooting up Skag.
That's not a typical line you would think that Shirley would
say. My goodness.
Jeff walks in and Britta says that Alan narked on him. And Jeff says, narked? But he's, like, way too primo for that, Frank Zappa. he tells Jeff about Alan admitting it in NA. And Alan doesn't recognize her because her hair is longer, skin is clearer, and she's lost weight.
Yeah.
She says he said he sent an email that got a rival coworker fired around the time he got caught. And Jeff calls that circumstantial evidence.
Yeah. He's being very forgiving of this guy, I feel like.
Yeah, it's very confusing that this would be his reaction the whole time. I mean, I understand, like, this is, like, an evolved Jeff that he's not going to, like, lash out and be super angry. But, I mean, it, like, ruined his career. Like,
yeah.
If there was any moment to be super angry,
it's now.
It would be this
moment.
Yeah.
It's weird that, like, this is the time where he's like, all right, I'm going to be super calm and, you know, play it coy.
Yeah. I wonder if he's just, like, so happy to be hanging out with Alan and, like, reliving his glory days again that he, like, almost doesn't want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because you're right. It doesn't really make a whole ton of sense unless you're thinking, like, well, he's calling it circumstantial evidence. So, like, who's to say that it was Jeff that he was talking about in that email? And I think this has been like, Jeff says, anybody else got any other wild conspiracy theories? And Trish says, did you know that Go-Gurt is just
life altering?
Yeah, I think that's pretty unfair to Go-Gurt to say it's just yogurt, you know?
It's yogurt on the go.
Yeah, Go-Gurt is like, that's not just yogurt. That's Go-Gurt.
Did you know they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Go-Gurt now?
Now?
Took them this long?
But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is over.
Well, it's more of like Marvel Go-Gurt. But there,
Agents
there's
of
like
S.H.I.E.L.D.
a-
is over, but Go-Gurt's just getting started.
It's like a Marvel-themed Go-Gurt, and one of them is called like Agents of Strawberry S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that.
That's horrible. Go-Gurt should lose the Marvel license. We got to write in. We got to write in. Yeah.
It's something like that. It's not exactly that, but it's definitely Strawberry Shield or something like that.
Yeah, they should do Guardians of the Go-Gurt Galaxy. Sorry.
I don't think that's better.
Or I am Go-Gurt would be good.
That's good.
Go-Gurt would
I'm
be good.
I'm Grogurt. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. We could spend more time on this if we really want.
So
I'm not ready to leave this.
Jeff calls them all codependent, saying they don't want him to be happy, but they just want him to need them. Britis thinks that he's saying they're not cool. He said, I never said that. You may have heard it. I may have thought it, and it may be true, but I never said it.
Wow.
So rude.
You can't bust him.
No, so maybe that's, I mean, I guess Jeff, maybe he has that sense of like, he is actually feeling superior because now it's like back in his old lawyer days, so he feels superior to these people when in this moment we're around his other like his past self. So I guess that can explain a little bit of his behavior.
Yeah. Abed asks Jeff if he's going to the pop and lockathon, but Jeff says he's going to the lawyer party.
Mm-hmm.
So Chang's on the team.
Well, he's going to be on the team, and now he's got the new deal that if we win, I'm in the study group. And I love from Abed, the stakes have never been higher.
Big stakes.
Yeah.
So we're at the lawyer party. Drew Carey is there. He thanks everyone for coming.
I loved seeing Drew Carey. It was just like kind of like a total shock. And then like for it to like immediately escalate to the big weird hole in his hand that is never like addressed as to like what happened. He just has it and he can just drop like a martini olive through it. I mean, I guess, like, if you got it, flaunt it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's great, but it's, like, better than, like, you know, the double-jointed people with, like, the fingers. This is, like, taking that to the next level.
Yeah, imagine that. Like, just be like, whoop, whoop. Or I guess you want to go this way, right? For the visual
patrons, totally working. Yeah. Totally working.
I got to do it. Okay, I think we got
context it. That, you know, that'll play very well.
Yeah, good news is you only saw it if you were watching this live, which you could do as a patron of Post Show Recaps, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. But if you're just listening to the podcast, I just tried to poke my finger through my hand as a magic trick. Let's just say it went well.
It went very well. Yep.
Very good.
What's the weirdest thing you would put through your hole in your hand if you had one?
Depends on the size of the hole, I guess.
I mean, the same size as he had, right? Big enough for an olive to go through.
I'd put carrot sticks through at a party.
I feel like there's a good way to be like a great ping pong player if you have a hole in your
at a party. I'm gonna get like the hors d'oeuvres and I'll like eat them through the hole and everyone's like, ah, no. I'm like, what's wrong? It's just my body. Like, I'll eat like a shrimp cocktail. Ooh,
you know what would be a fun party trick? You put your hand flat on a piece of paper and you put like the pencil through the hole and you like write through the hole in your hand onto the paper.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that. Yeah.
We're getting lit at this party.
Yeah. I would put my hand on, like, I would put the straw through and I would cover the top of my drink with my
and
hand.
You still get the drink through it. You don't have to worry about finding the straw.
Yeah.
Major you freak people out. You got like a very hot candle. You're like, I'm going to put my hand on it, and then boom, right through the hand.
I mean, I'm definitely putting a straw through the hand into the drink. I'm not putting my hand on the top and then sipping through the hole in the hand like it's a sippy cup, Jess. That's not what I'm doing.
I'm saying that you're avoiding that, like, you've seen the thing where it's like the drunk girl thing where you can't find the straw and you're just like, ah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's like you avoid that.
Yeah, it's true. You do.
Yeah, instead you just go, through your hand.
Exactly.
It's kind of sounding pretty useful.
It is, honest. Except realistically, your fingers probably don't work if there's a hole in your hand.
I would like put like my like keychain lanyard. I would like go through like the hole so like I wouldn't lose my keys.
Oh, that sounds weird. I don't know about that one. Just have it like dangling.
Yeah,
I could see it, but it's kind of grossing me out.
This is where we draw the line.
Yeah. That's where I draw the line.
The keys?
Yeah, I mean, everything about this would gross me out if I saw someone with a hole in their head.
Yeah.
If they were doing anything.
Yeah.
I'd be a pickle like, might fit
I
nicely.
Understand what you're trying to do here, and you got to live your truth, but I have to go look away. have to look. I have to talk to someone else here at the party.
I feel like a pickle would fit nicely.
A pickle would do. Yeah. A cornichon or something.
A what?
A cornichon, like a tiny pickle.
Like a gherkin?
Like a gherkin.
Okay. I hope people are enjoying this. Anyway, he says that ought to keep you going through Christmas.
Yeah.
Jeff is impressed. He calls him a master. Alan tells Jeff that Ted is a big fan of Jeff's, and he asks Jeff if he'll mention Alan when he talks to him. Apparently, Ted keeps getting passed over, or Ted keeps passing over Alan for partner. And Jeff asks if Alan invited him as an ulterior motive. And then when Alan basically confirms, he goes, God, I miss this place.
Yeah.
Dark, mysterious ways that they have to get things done over there.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
The group enters the party, and Britta says it's a sea of wingers.
A sea of wingers.
It reeks of moral ambiguity. I love that line. Mm-hmm. Pierce knocks over a ton of champagne glasses because, you know, of course.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, Jeff wants everyone to get out of here.
Yep.
Yeah, Britta says they were invited, and apparently it's Alan who invited them, and he's being a real creep around Annie, and I don't appreciate it.
Sure.
Stay away from Annie.
Yeah, gotta stay away from Annie.
Yes, she's young. We try not to sexualize
her. That's what I've heard. Yes.
Yes. Jeff asks what their plan is, and Shirley says they wanted to apologize. Pierce says they wanted to show him they could be cool. Ted notices Jeff and approaches him, and Jeff tells the group to find Annie and leave.
Yeah, because Annie is MIA, because Annie's got, she's got her whole plan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she has to take things to a severely escalated level.
Yeah. Some assault on her record.
Yes.
Britta instructs Troy and Abed to break into Alan's office, hack into his emails, and find proof he screwed over Jeff. Apparently, Alan told Annie the room number was 69 before telling her the real number.
Nice.
So they go to go find his office.
Yes.
Classic.
Yes.
Ted tells Jeff how much they miss him. Alan approaches and tells Ted to stop hitting on his date. Alan says they can share, and then he gets the head and pretends to chew on Jeff's brain.
Yeah. That's a weird move, is like how he's just like kind of like gnawing on Jeff's temple.
Yeah. It's reminiscent of Chang munching on Annie's brain.
Yeah.
Like, why do people keep doing this?
Yeah. How would you power rank the three between getting a weird hat put on your head, tickled, or someone gnawing at your head, Josh? RSVP thing.
This is a good question. Hat number one.
Yeah.
Marry the hat. I think I am. I'll ding the tickling. I will.
That quote out of context. I'll ding the tickling.
I will ding the tickling. I will kill the head gnar because that might be a zombie. We don't want anything to do with that.
The tickling is dead. The tickling is 100% dead for me. That's my personal space.
Don't eat my head, man. Like, don't tickle me either, but I guess by like, I have no choice. I have to do it. But like, you're not putting your mouth on my head.
Did he actually put his mouth? I thought it was just miming.
I think he was, I don't know.
His mouth
close. He got,
if there was no contact, he got real close.
I interpreted it as contact. I thought that there was some contact there. I thought there was like some light teeth grazing of flesh, which is a complete non-starter, and it's like the kind of thing that like I would like turn around and be like, what the hell, like I would like break character and just be an asshole, like no, it would not be good. Don't touch my head with your mouth. Don't tickle me either, though. Don't do either of those things. You can't, if awful. You have a cool hat, I'm open.
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Yeah. Brian, do you disagree? Would you reorder that at all?
No, I'm with you, Jesse. Yeah. I'll take the tickling over the head nod. Once a person does it once, then it's like, that's like the thing they do to you.
You stranger, cannot put your mouth anywhere near my head anymore.
At least tickling with the hand. No jerk.
It was already not great. You cannot do that now.
No.
It's all bad.
Yeah. Even if you've gotten your shots, which I hope you have, but like even vaccinated stranger,
a shot to protect that.
You're not putting your mouth on my head. Please don't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ted looks unimpressed with Alan. He's not a big fan of the brain munching either.
No.
Britta asks Pierce if they should notify someone that they won't be at the Pop and Lockathon, but maybe it was Shirley. But Pierce says, who cares? And we see Chang checking in for the Heather Pop and Locklears.
The Heather Pop and Locklears is an awesome name.
Mm-hmm.
Chang's ready to go all out.
He is.
Gold jersey and all.
Yeah. Yep. He's in.
We see Annie, Troy, and Abed sneaking into Alan's office. Abed has a backpack and pulls out a suction cup, a credit card, and chloroform.
That chloroform is going to come in handy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Troy says Annie needs to be the lookout, and Annie asks, why her? Because if someone comes up here, Kanye and Kumar get taken to jail. You get taken to dinner.
You get taken to dinner. It's so good.
Annie's really upset because she says she's the smartest one.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jeff says he's surprised Alan hasn't made partner yet, and Ted calls him a spineless trust fund jagoff.
Yeah.
He says, I'll tell you what, Jeff, you're the best liar I ever employed. If you can look me in the eye and tell me you actually like Alan, I'll make him a full partner.
And Jeff, like, stands up for him. He's like, he tells him that, like, likes got nothing to do with it. You don't want someone you like. You want, like, someone who's gonna, like, get the job done. But he also, Jeff, in this moment, like, reveals, like, a decent amount about, like, his whole backstory. Talk about the origins, right? That, yep. Like, he only ever liked his mom. His mom liked his dad, so didn't like him. He didn't get the approval that he craved, and this, like, led him down the path. After the custody battle, there he goes. He's off to lawyer land.
Yeah, the lawyer left the courthouse in a great-looking suit and a sky-blue Mercedes SLK.
Yeah.
With not to want.
Yeah.
It would be surprising that, like, if you wanted someone to vouch for you, you wouldn't think you would want the person who was, like, embarrassingly disbarred from being a lawyer from not, you know, graduating to be the one. I feel like if that person vouched for you, you'd be like, okay, I'm not going with that person.
Probably.
Right, but Ted loves Jeff, and not only that, like, they're so impressed that Jeff got away with this for so many years. Mm. So for lawyers, they're like, wow, that guy's a great liar. Like, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Jeff says that we're a special breed because we rise above the sloppy stuff and take a look at the bottom line. You want to like your employees? Open a hair salon. You want to win? Make Alan partner.
Wow.
And that's all Ted needs to hear.
Yeah, it's very convincing. Yeah.
Full hearts.
Yeah, can't lose.
They shake hands and an audible pop. I love that so much.
Yeah. That was probably the best moment of the party scene. It was just so clever that they put that in there to remind you, just in case you forgot, this guy's a hole in his head.
It's a pop and lock.
Yep.
Yeah. Ted offers for Jeff to be a consultant, and Jeff says that would be amazing. He notices Britta laughing loudly and excuses himself to go deal with her.
We find out that, like, everybody has, like, they're, like, making their various deals with the devil, right? Like, Britta, if she sleeps with this guy once a month, she gets to use this beach house whenever she wants. Shirley has a civil case against the woman who stole her husband. Pierce has found the most dangerous game, apparently.
I just love the line that Jeff says to Shirley, don't sue a stripper. Life sued her and she lost.
Oh, God. It's so brutal. Mean. It's so brutal.
I wonder if anyone is going to take up anyone on these offers. Like, in a couple episodes, is Pierce going to be playing the most dangerous game? Is that
what I buy it, man. I really do. I totally buy from Pierce that he would
hunt people.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes.
Meanwhile, in, you know, the best scene of the entire episode, very obviously, Abed and Troy are printing the email that incriminates Alan. A janitor enters and asks what they're doing. Troy says he can explain and pauses for a very long time.
Well, isn't he, like, trying to, like, Jedi mind trick him is what that's how I read it. Like, he, like, sticks the hand out and says again, I can explain. Like, I feel like
he's buying time.
I feel like he's trying to, like, use his powers.
Use the force.
Yeah.
The flashbacks of last season where they were, like, he was in the middle of, like, saying a word.
And fight.
Like, fight. And he just, like, couldn't think of the word. And he just ended with it. And that brought me back to that.
Yeah. Fight.
Yeah.
So he's like, I can explain. And the guy waits. Annie sneaks behind him, chloroforms him. Troy freaks out. Annie says she didn't know what to do. And Amit says, I usually have 1 foot out of reality, and even I'm freaking out right
well,
now.
Well, this is a huge escalation. Have we seen anything remotely like this on Community yet, where someone has taken such aggressive action against a stranger?
No, I'm thinking Shirley and Annie become like the campus security, but even then, I mean, they like
Shirley was like Shirley
Jeff.
Shirley did a B&E on Professor Slater's office and was going to fill it with water and stuff.
Annie slams Jeff's head into the desk. Remember that?
Sure. Punches him. Yeah, but Annie,
the paintball scenes, there's some violent paintball shootings, but
yeah, but still, this is a whole other level.
But there's no preparation for the fact that Annie is going to knock a human unconscious with chloroform, not once, but twice. And the second time is so much more vicious.
It's so much worse.
The second time she's like snuffing out a life.
Yeah.
And it's so perfect that it's Annie, because if it's like Pierce already, like anyone else, like the connotation is so different.
Totally.
It's darker if it's anyone but Annie, but the fact that it's her, it makes it like more playful and funny and like not like a serious, like, oh my God, they do it to this poor guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Troy's freaking out. Annie's like, stop yelling at me. You're the ones who got us caught. And Troy says, Annie is the one who's yelling. Annie says, they have to do something. And Troy has my whole brain is crying.
Yeah, my whole brain is crying.
The physical comedy from Donald Glover is just out of this world.
Is it in this episode, too, where they were talking about, like, Febrezing my entire brain or something like that? I need to clean my whole brain.
Annie said she needed Purell on her brain because of Alan.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, so Abed has the plan, right? He has the idea, and so we cut to all four of them on the ground, and then the janitor wakes up, and then they all pretend to be waking up. It's like, what happened? We all got chloroformed.
It's an incredibly brilliant plan.
Except for Annie's there.
The problem was, like, even if she was going to be there, you can't be holding the chloroform in your hand. You have to at least, you know, toss it to the side or get rid of it. You can't you can be like, oh, I was trying to help you, but he got me too. You can't be right there with the chloroform.
It's so funny. And she's just like, she's just like Chris Farley with the dinner roll in Tommy Boy. Like, she just like shakes his life out. It's crazy. She just like mounts him and chloroforms him again. It's like, can we just run away now?
And for all of you who didn't believe Annie had a killer instinct, this is it.
Oh my
this
God.
This is the moment that everything changes, because Troy is like, poor Troy's like grimacing through all of this. And Annie's just like, I'll do it. She has that killer instinct. She would like kill at Survivor, because people just think she's innocent and naive till she chloroforms you.
And then you get chloroformed.
Yeah.
So
Annie's like, that was the worst idea. Can we just run away now?
So they leave, and then we're back at the Pop and Lockathon, and Chang is like, he has been going. He's trying so hard. I love it. We go into the journey of the mind's eye and see him, what he's hoping for with the study group, and then we come out
made on like the sweat coming down his face.
it's so good.
Yeah, and we're back at the party. Jeff drags the remainder of the group to the exit, and Pierce thinks Jeff is jealous because they're fitting in with his new friends, but Jeff says he's distracted at watching them mutate. Surely Jesus turned the other cheek. He didn't garnish wages. Pierce, do I even need to say this? It's bad to hunt man for sport.
Yeah, don't do that.
I think it needed to be said for Pierce. I think he needed that to be reemphasized. Don't do that.
I think it's probably a good idea to highlight that hunting man for sport is a bad call.
Yes.
Yeah. Annie, Abed, and Troy approach with the proof that Alan turned in Jeff, and Jeff says they're right. He's a bad friend, but he's a good lawyer. I appreciate you guys caring, but you have to understand that I don't. Caring is lethal around here. It's a disease. You guys have it. I don't. So if you care about me, don't infect me. I'll go win the Pop and Lockathon. I'll see you Monday.
Yeah.
He's
like watching a soul slip through our fingers.
That's what he's worried about, getting bite on the head. He was zombie.
Annie ready to chloroform again.
Yes, she does.
Troy's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no. Yeah. So Jeff goes and talks to Alan, and like Alan has this moment where he can come clean, and it seems like he's about to, but then he throws this like superhero sounding dude under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
This guy,
Thompson adopted 3 at-risk teens and donated his kidney to a temp.
Yes.
So he took down Jeff.
Yeah. So So Jeff, like, this is what Jeff needs to hear to like go back and show up for the Heather Pop and Locklear's. Like, he needs to.
Yeah, he says he caught something at Greendale.
Yes.
So we're back at the Pop and Lockathon, and Dean warns Chang that he needs to switch up his moves.
Why? Because he's going to get disqualified for doing too much of the same thing.
No one likes redundancy.
I guess
it's kind of mean. What if you got a killer move? Like, you just stick with the hits.
I agree.
The new ones.
Yeah, and like there is something that's like some. I think like there's something impressive about like can you like move maintenance or like if you're like sustaining like the one move. For an entire like that's like 5 hours of the same move is in its own
challenging.
Yeah, I agree.
Same. It's boring to watch though.
But at a certain point, Jess, does it become mesmerizing?
Right.
If it's the same exact move,
why would you want to watch that for 5 hours straight?
It's like it's like now it's sort of like this inception layer of like. All right, well, it's a dance-a-thon, and within the dance-a-thon, Chang is doing the one move. Is he going to... What will stop first? Chang stops dancing, or Chang stops doing the one move?
It's like the Family Guy chicken fight. It gets, like, it's very funny. And
yes.
It's like, all right, they're still doing this, and then it circles back around. It's yes. Very funny again.
Yes, I agree. That's how I feel about it. I'm just here to defend Chang as
apparently.
Much as possible.
At all costs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Troy tags in for Chang, and Chang falls down. Only two teams left.
Yeah.
The Poppy Lock Stockings and the Heather Pop and Locklears.
Yes.
Which name's better?
The Heather Pop and Locklears is extremely my shit. Okay. Loved Melrose Place as a young lad. Too young.
Annie asks what's wrong with Troy, but Troy's heart isn't in it. Jeff joins Troy on the dance floor, and they do a choreographed dance together. Shirley asks if he punched down in the face, and he says, hell no, that guy's useful to me. Thanks to you, I've now got leverage over a spineless jag that just made partner.
Yeah, I love that it's twice in this episode that someone's either called a jag or a jag off.
Yeah.
I love that.
Back. Let's bring that back to 2020.
I think we got, yeah, stop being such a jag right now.
He says, that's the place I want to work, but I prefer to hang out with cool people. People so cool, they care.
Yeah.
What? Everyone runs to hug him.
What is this parking on the dance floor that they get?
They're not dancing. They're hugging Jeff.
Yeah.
So they get disqualified.
Yeah. But the whole thing of like, let's do the puppet, like that whole move killed me. I laughed so hard. Like, what is happening? Like, this was enough to like boost Jeff back up in my meow meows as we get to them.
Well, I see Chang pull it out though. I felt bad. Worked so hard.
I did too.
People come up. Oh, poor Chang.
Yeah.
Yep. And Chang's upset. Annie says the contest doesn't matter because they have each other. But Chang asks to be in the study group, and Troy said that wasn't the deal, and that they lost.
Yeah. And he just starts laughing like a psycho.
Yeah. And then we get to the amazing end credit scene. Troy walks by the Abed painted in a tunnel, and Abed tells Troy he made it through, and that he's a cartoon. Nothing's impossible in here. Animals can talk. Your heart is shaped like a heart. And the smell of pie can make you float.
Your heart,
believe, Troy.
Your heart is shaped like a heart is so funny. Because you know exactly what he means.
Yeah. Yep.
Troy readies himself to run, and real Abed pops up saying he doesn't have to believe. And Abed thinks he did some real damage.
I love it.
More home with like Space Jam 2 coming out with like that world now.
Yes.
Back in cartoon.
Yeah.
He's going to go join Bugs Bunny on the basketball team.
I love this so much. It feels like almost a little like not like Abed to like play such a cruel prank on Troy where he knows he's going to like...
I mean, he did the alien one.
I guess. But this one feels like he says, like I may have caused some damage here. Like, maybe he didn't think this one through the way that this would emotionally land with poor Troy. Yeah. It's so funny.
It's funny. The painting is perfect. the way you describe the thing that you the new fairy is great.
The painting is so great, Brian, because like some of the painting is like a little bit off too. Like it's just like not like within all of the lines and stuff. So it's just like it does feel like it's like an amateur job. It's hysterical. I love it. I cracked up so hard. Yeah. That was so good.
Very easily.
Yeah.
Streets ahead.
Yeah.
Easily.
No question.
Oh, definitely.
No question.
Yes.
Let's get into some feedback for this one. Of course, you can send feedback in community@postshowrecaps.com. For the Wise Kraken Lockathon, another Jeff might be his old dickish self still episode. I thought we got this out of our system, community. This would have ranked way low for me, but it gets a major uptick from Annie's chloroform shenanigans. One of my favorite bits of the whole series and the start of the Troy Badani power trio. Is that right? Troy Badani?
Yeah, it's all three of their names together. Troy, Abed, and Annie.
Troy Badani. That sounds Badani. That sounds like a fruit snack.
Oh, I thought it sounded like a medication.
Oh, that's a, yeah.
It's a go-gurt flavor.
It's a go-gurt flavor. Yeah. Yes. Troy Badani.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the Wisecrack and Lockathon. It's kind of like, without the chloroform stuff, I don't think this episode is like super strong. I think Drew Carey alone and the chloroform stuff really brings it up a notch.
It was good just to get some backstory into Jeff. I think that does always help. Mm-hmm. I know, I guess the show isn't as character based, but it's still good to build that level of layer with him. Because he's, you know, probably, you know, one of the main guys. So I think that is still very important.
Yeah, I think the stuff that it gets right, it gets so right that I don't know, that I was very pleased. I was laughing really hard for most of this. From Austin. Austin says, accounting for lawyers feels overlooked for its part in defining a new tone for season two and beyond, as it's the first episode where a plot takes place off campus. Barring a gag or two, the entirety of season one takes place at Greendale. And that bubble of a setting really feels like a big part of why season one feels so distinct from what follows. Season two starts ripping the band-aid off with the waking up montage and the premiere, but goes all in on taking the show off campus in this episode. I'm curious what you think about this episode being the one to break the Greendale bubble. Was this the right story to break new ground? First off, Jess, I think you're the one who is equipped to answer this over me and Brian. Is this a bubble burster? Would you say?
I mean, I think I feel like the first episode is like, I feel like the first episode of season two really like sets the scene of what we're in for season two. I guess this one's different because there's so much stuff off campus, but it doesn't feel like particularly groundbreaking to me. Like the chloroform thing, yes, but not necessarily the lawyer story itself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it depends. I think it'll really shift gears when they start bringing off-campus people back and off-campus locations back. If they're just continuing like one-off things, it's not as drastic. I think once we start getting new central hubs and central people, that to me feels like more of the bigger shift.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. From Jank. Jank says, in season one, felt like we got a lot of the same beats in Jeff's growth over and over again. This one was new and fresh. He had the direct allure to his old life, and he still ended up going back to the study group with no regrets. After learning that Alan betrayed him, but taking the higher road, all of his own initiative, it shows that he has changed. Plus, the Abed, Troy, and Annie shenanigans are some of the best laughs in all of Community. I think Jank sums up my feelings of the episode really well. Like, there are ways in which this feels kind of wheel spinny, but I think, like, Jeff's ultimate reactions to all of it feels like a Jeff that has been through season one. That, like, I think to your point, Brian, you were like, you know, like, this would be the time to, like, really, like, go after, like, this is the guy. And he, like, he does take the high road. He doesn't do any, like, untoward shenanigans to Alan. And, like, he just goes back to the group and says, now I've got leverage. But will he use that? Will he not? Who knows? That's, like, a future thing. So it did feel like, it was like a recycled plot, but like recycled in that sense of like, now it's something new. It was an environmentally friendly use of a very standard community story, I feel like. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The leverage almost feels like a future thing where Jeff will have to decide again, is he going to be the old self and, you know, use his past issues and get him further, or is he actually furthering his growth and letting that all go to the wayside? So that'll be interesting to see as a callback later on.
Totally. All right, Meow Meow Beans times. Let's rank these characters. I'll go first. Pierce is a two. He's totally whatever in this episode. Give Shirley and Britta a three, which I could be convinced is either a little too high or a little too low. But I think like they are just like totally dwarfed by everybody else in the episode. Abed, I gave a four just because like we've seen like peak Abed stuff before. So I'm leaving him at a four, though I feel like I could go like a smidge higher, especially with like the end tag. And also that he's the one who came up with the everybody pretend like you were chloroformed gag. Jeff would have been lower. I boosted him to a four because of the final scene I thought was really, really funny. And Joel McHale just like going for it at the Pop and Lockathon. Chang really going for it at the Pop and Lockathon, boosts him to a 4.5. Just the Ken Jeong physical comedy I thought was exceptional. And then it's a very obvious perfect 5 for both Troy and Annie for all the reasons that are obscenely obvious. Brian, give us your meow meows. What were you thinking?
All right. So I gave Jeff a 3.5. I was leaning towards a 3, but because, you know, he did show his growth, came back to the crew at the end, I bumped it to 3.5. Not like his funniest episode, but, you know, he was more of the central star. So I felt like it was at least worthy of a 3.5. Britta, I put a 3. I could have even done lower. She didn't really offer a whole lot this week. You know, not one of her more standout episodes. Her and Shirley were really more in the background. Shirley, I just gave it 2 because she really wasn't off. She really wasn't much involved at all. With this week. Pierce, I gave it 2 also. It's hard for me to give Pierce anything more than a 2.5 just because of the level of humor he delivers.
But yeah.
Even here, like, he didn't even have any jokes to begin with, so I gave him a 2. Chang, I agree, and I gave him 4. Probably could have even given a little bit higher. But, you know, he didn't win the contest, and I don't want to really reward
That's fair. That's a good point.
Back down to a 4.
That's a good point.
And I totally agree. Andy's a 5, and I gave Abed and Troy a 4 also, mainly because that because Andy was the one who delivered the chloroform, she gets the Everyone else is the 4.
Yeah, I guess love fair.
Yeah, at the low end, obviously, I also gave Pierce a 2. He wasn't funny this episode. Like, usually, because, like, 2.5 is an average, which is what I gave Shirley. But, like, Pierce, he just annoys me. Shirley, 2.5. She didn't have a ton. You know, in an average episode for Shirley, she didn't do anything to upset me, but, like, she didn't have a lot there. Britta, I gave a 3. There was a reason why I thought she was, like, slightly funnier than Shirley, but it's not coming to mind at the moment. And then Chang at a 3.5. He's, like, a serviceable. Like, I didn't do an average. He got above average from me. It's hard for me to give him.
You have to defend it. Yeah,
it's fine. He is fine. I gave Jeff a 4. We like to see some growth there. Abed, I gave a 4.5 just because I felt like Troy and Annie earned the 5s for that moment, and Abed was, like, just a little hair away from being, like, super, super funny.
Yeah.
So Annie and Troy, obviously, if this is the episode that Annie deserves 5s across the board.
For sure. 100%.
She nailed it.
100%.
We love it.
Very, very funny.
So we've had quite the fluctuation. I mean, obviously, we've only had 2 episodes, so we expect the leaderboard to move around a bit. Troy is now number 1 with 26 points. Abed and Annie tied for 2nd and 3rd. That trio killing it. Then we got Britta, Jeff, Chang. Shirley is after Chang, quite the fall from grace she's had since last season. And Pierce, of course, is last. No surprise there.
No surprise there. Dean's list, I think no surprise that we're all going in on Drew Carey.
Yep. Ted, and I put in parentheses, hole in the hand guy.
Hole in the hand guy.
I just put Drew Carey. So
yeah. I think Drew Carey's got it. Episode ratings. I appear to be the highest. I gave it a 3.5, 3.5. Mm-hmm. I really loved it. Again, like, if this is the level of Community season 2, like, I'm all in. Like, I was howling watching this one. There was some stuff.
I just did a flat 3 just because, like I said, the Jeff storyline just, I mean, it was interesting, but there wasn't a lot of humor there. It wasn't a lot for this. So his backstory, sure, it's good, but I'm not going to remember a lot of the moments of this episode from that.
I think I'll always associate Drew Carey with an inexplicable hole in his hand with the Jeff storyline from this one. So that'll crack me up for a while.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.9. I think this is like an average episode for season 2. Like, there's so much better episodes in season 2. And I just felt like I don't really care about, like, Alan and Jeff and that storyline, but it honestly, like, without the chloroform, this episode ranks a lot lower for me. Like, that brings it up to a whole other level. But the audience was definitely more in line with Josh. They gave it a 3.32, which brings our average to a 3.18, and actually the lowest, which I think dragged down the average, was a 1.75, because almost everybody else who sent in rankings was in the 3s territory. So yeah, 3.18, that puts it in second, solidly in second place, behind Anthropology 101 that had a 3.28.
Cool. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I was very happy with it. If this is the quality of season 2, I think we're in really good shape.
And this is an average episode. That's
exciting, right?
It's like below average, in my opinion. Yeah,
7 episodes tonight after.
If this is a below average episode of season 2, then season 2 is fire. Because I thought this was really, really, really funny. Awesome. All right. That's the episode. We did it. So, Brian, wait, you're going to get off the podcast and watch 7 episodes of Community right now, you think?
Probably the plan, yeah. I got the rest of it now. I have no time constraints.
Just let me know how it is. Don't tell me anything, though.
I just want to know what all the gifts I've been using all my life.
I know.
Yeah.
And all that.
So. I know. Brian, I'm sorry it took us way too long to get on here, but this was an absolute blast, man. A total pleasure getting to podcast together finally.
Yeah, it's like any with the chloroform. Once you,
yeah. Oh my god. Well, before we say guten tag, homie, do you say guten tag when you say goodbye? I don't think so. I don't know. We didn't practice it enough, by the way, on the podcast.
I think I got it.
I think you've got it. So tell everybody where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, so on you can follow me on Twitter. You got CohenBrian_. I know Rob hates the underscores, but I got.
Oh no,
Cohen is a very common name, unfortunately. So
can't yes,
about that. But yeah, I do the Challenge podcast with the great Ali Lasher. So you can check out that robswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes Challenge is Wednesday nights at a very competitive 8 o'clock time slot. Going up against Big Brother and then Survivor. Very smart move there.
Wild.
Oh man,
they're all the same company. I don't understand.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you would think that they would want to program that better.
No, you would think so, but no, that's not what they're. Nope. Not the goal in my opinion.
And they're not gonna. They're not gonna move when Survivor's back. They'll both be eights. I don't know why I thought it was an 8 and a 9.
No, 8 to 9. They get the 9:30 because they go 8 to 9:30. So if you want to watch the Survivor and then catch the last half hour of the Challenger, you can.
Well, you get to fast forward, no commercial. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, check all that out. That's what I got going on.
Awesome. Jess, what kind of shit have the 90s taught you recently?
I'm so excited because this Friday is Sarah and I's 1 year podcast anniversary. So we are putting out a special bonus podcast. We saw each other this weekend. It was so much fun. I went down to Jersey. And we recorded a special podcast, that where we had a 90s snack bracket. So speaking of Go-Gurt, that was in the bracket, which is why I know the thing about the Marvel Shield, because I'm not buying Go-Gurt otherwise.
Sure.
So you guys can check out and see what won on the 3rd. On top of that, September is going to be Robin Williams month. So we're going to be putting out a poll on September 1st, where you can vote to see what 2 movies we're going to be covering. Let's see what's in the poll. Jumanji, Flubber, Jack, and Mrs. Doubtfire.
Dope.
Those are the 4 options. Pretty competitive.
Jumanji, Flubber, Jack, and Mrs. Doubtfire. And you only watch 1?
2.
2. Oh, man.
Mrs. Doubtfire is going to be...
Yeah, that's... Like, 1. I think that's like sort of like the Jurassic Park of these options. You know what I mean? Like, this is like... That's so classic. How are you not going to pick Mrs. Doubtfire? Yeah.
I think that beyond that, I don't know. I think it's tight between Jumanji and Flubber. I don't think Jack's going to
win. I think Jack is out.
Unfortunately,
Jack,
it's a great movie.
But it's a very depressing premise.
It is.
It's a depressing premise, like disguised as like a cutesy premise. But like the moment in the movie where Robin Williams realizes the extent of the premise is one of the saddest things ever.
Yeah, it's awful.
What do I want to be when I grow up? Alive. You know, like, I don't need to see that again.
Yeah, I'm secretly hoping Flubber wins. Yeah. When I was a kid, I had a keychain. It is. Yeah. It's so fun. I had the keychain when I was a kid. Like, I got the VHS. I remember begging my parents to go get the VHS with the keychain that had the little gooey Flubber guy in it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a classic, but it's like, I feel like it's been like redone. It's so more a part of the day's culture. Like, Flubber, you know, let's get that back.
I've never flubbered before. I never did it.
No.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've never flubbered.
It's great.
Yeah.
Hopefully it holds up. But yeah, so those are the options. At @shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram. Go vote. We also have a website now that Sarah made, which is pretty impressive. I have nothing to do with it, so don't give me any credit. But it's www.shit90spod.com.
Amazing. So much happening on Poster Recaps. You know the drill. Lost Podcast. There's Walking Dead. There's Avatar Podcast. There's so many shows. Ted Lasso. You're listening to the Community one right now. Keep listening to all the stuff. Check all the things that we're doing. We'll be back next week with, what are we doing next week? Who do we have coming up? What's the episode?
Season 2, episode 3, The Psychology of Letting Go. And very exciting, we're having on Sarah Carradine.
Yeah!
I cannot wait.
Oh, hell yeah.
So excited to have her on. It's going to be so much fun.
I'm going to have to just ask her tons of questions about the Australian TV series known as Round the Twist.
I figured that would be a topic of conversation.
I have some stuff to prepare between now and
have you
then.
Ever?
Have you ever felt like this? Really looking forward to getting Sarah on the podcast. Brian, it was a pleasure, man. This was so much fun.
It was a blast. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's very exciting. I can't wait to be done with the series, and I'll jump on again like season four.
Yeah. Oh, yes. God. Yeah.
Season four.
Yeah. That's the one to beware of, apparently. All right. We'll be back next week. Until then, everybody, take care. Corey B., take us away.
Dean Pelton?
Dean! This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Dean Gill with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.